Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine. We're going to talk about ACEs and ARBs today, I guess.
We are going to talk about ACEs and ARBs and atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, by way of background, relatively common arrhythmia, much more prevalent in men and much more prevalent in older men. Atrial fibrillation, as we know, can have adverse consequences, most of it related to the reduction in cardiac output, but there's also this chance in the atrium and atrial appendage of a thrombus formation, which can lead to systematic embolization. So it's an arrhythmia that we want to pay some attention to. How do we evaluate it? Well, the history and physical exam are important. EKG is obviously very important. The purpose of the old history and physical is to define the symptoms, to more clearly understand the date and details of onset, frequency and duration, precipitating causes and modes of transmission, and the response to drug therapy. Also, we want to pay close attention to both any chance of organic heart disease, as well as potentially reversible causes, and perhaps the most important of these is hyperthyroidism. Our listeners will remember the frequency and duration of symptoms are related and can be determined by the history, and those symptoms include perhaps palpitations, things like weakness, dizziness, reduced exercise capacity, and maybe shortness of breath or difficulty catching your breath. It's also important to realize that many episodes of atrial fibrillation are probably asymptomatic. In fact, one study showed that up to 90% of adult males have atrial fibrillation that is not recognized by the patient. Now, many of these are just fleeting episodes, and if they're not recognized, I suspect they'll go undetected for a long period of time. The article that Mark has picked out today comes from the journal Clinical Pharmacotherapy. It asks an important question, specifically looking at two classes of drugs. The question is, can angiotensin receptor blockers or angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors prevent atrial fibrillation in those at high risk?
Yeah, this was interesting. There is some biological plausibility to this. The renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system does seem to be involved in structural and electrical remodeling of the atrium, so it makes sense that maybe blocking this could prevent AFib. So to try and prove the theory, the authors looked at three databases, including the Cochrane Library, to identify randomized controlled trials on ARBs or ACEs to prevent AFib. And they looked at either primary prevention or secondary prevention. So they ended up finding 26 randomized controlled trials, and all of them compared one drug with placebo or with usual treatment for at least 6 months, so a long enough time for the events to occur potentially. 11 of the studies looked at people without AFib, so it was primary prevention. 12 of them enrolled patients with AFib, so that's secondary prevention to prevent recurrence. And then 3 were kind of a mixed bag. Most of the studies weren't specifically designed to look at the effect on AFib. It was reported as a secondary outcome, so only about half the studies actually specifically evaluated patients for AFib as part of the study protocol. And even then, they only did it in symptomatic patients. So like you said, they might have missed some of those folks who have fleeting or asymptomatic episodes of AFib. The meta-analysis didn't look at the quality of the studies, which is a limitation, but they did look for publication bias, which would be unpublished studies that found a negative effect, and they didn't find any of those. So overall, they found that the use of an ARB or an ACE inhibitor did significantly lower the risk of AFib, which is interesting. The results were heterogeneous, and what they found was that there was a much greater benefit for patients who already had AFib to prevent recurrence than compared to new onset AFib as primary prevention. So the number needed to treat was 9 for secondary prevention and 90 for new onset AFib. And they also found a greater benefit in those folks with AFib who were already being treated with amiodarone. So there might have been some sort of a synergistic effect, although, you know, this is really kind of at the hypothesis generating stage. They didn't find a clear effect in patients with heart failure, or at least they found inconsistent results. So bottom line is that the treatment with an ARB or an ACE does decrease the risk of developing AFib, particularly in patients with recurrent AFib, and particularly in those who are already getting amiodarone or cortisone to prevent AFib. I'm not sure that I would start everyone in the world on an ACE in order to prevent them from getting AFib sometime down the road, but it's one more reason to remember that ACEs are a good first choice as an antihypertensive along with diuretics because they have this additional potential benefit.
Any advantage of ACEs over ARBs, or did the authors suggest they were equally effective?
They didn't distinguish between them, and they didn't find a difference. They didn't distinguish between the two. I mean, there are other reasons, obviously, cost chief among them, certainly the data are stronger and probably more consistent for most indications for ACEs over ARBs. And certainly the combination of ACEs and ARBs, a number of studies have now shown, or at least a couple of studies have shown, that that's worse than either one alone. So you want to pick one or the other. I think we've talked about this many times. Start with an ACE and then go to an ARB if it's not tolerated. It's interesting to me that people might find AFib to be asymptomatic. I mean, I had a brief episode of 24 hours once in my 20s where I was, at that time, an undiagnosed hypertensive and also was drinking caffeine all day long because I was on call and got a phone call at 3 in the morning after admitting 12 patients to the hospital and Gwynned AFib, and boy, did I notice it. I walked down to the mailbox. I was like, whew, that really takes it out of you. So it's kind of surprising to me that someone would be asymptomatic, but I know it happens all the time.
Yeah, it may be that the way they defined it, it may be just that, it was a beat or two, or a short run of 3 to 5 seconds or something that wouldn't notice
like
it.
That.
But no, that little little atrium, that little kick that it gives can make a big difference.
Yeah, and interestingly, I was shortly after my episode of lone AFib, I was put on an ACE inhibitor a long time ago, and all over 20 years ago, and have been on one ever since, so maybe that's why I haven't had any recurrent episodes. In any case, interesting study.
We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.